Alright, I want a number of further nekudos in the sugya. Hopefully, tomorrow we can work on the tosis, the next tosis, and maybe finish tomorrow, start on a new mishnah. Hopefully Tuesday, we'll see. We presented two ways to understand the Gemara, Rashi and Tosis, the machokes between Rav Chisda and Rav Nassin. The Gemara says the Ketzad Shamin, the Bao, the Isha. According to the way we learned in Rashi, the machokes is a very lumdish machokes. The fact that the ksuba right now is not due, the Edom testified that he owes the ksuba, that fundamentally means that the Edom are machayev from the whole ksuba. The only thing is, that's according to Rav Nassin. Rav Chisda says, no, the machayev him is only right now what he lost out, that he could have sold his chelek. That's the machlokes. Lamdash machlokes. How do we understand what's happening over here? Right now the Edom say he owes ksuva, but for all we know he'd have to pay the ksuva anyway down the road. Rav Chisda says, all you can definitively say that the Edom machayev him is what he could have sold his chus safik and the ksuva for, and therefore that's the pshat of Rav Chisda of Shaman Bibal. Rav Nassin says, Beisha, and the words of the Mishnah obviously could be better fit according to Rav Nassin, which means that since fundamentally the loss is the entire amount, however, given the fact that he could have and he would have purchased Hars Chosafik from her, which it sells for less, as Rashi and Tosfos of Masbir, than what his Chosafik is. It's mechusa guvainash, and there's no one eating Paris in the interim. Therefore, that which he would have paid for readily, that therefore cannot be factored into what the Edom have to pay. That's not called that they caused him that loss. So therefore, that gets removed, subtracted from the total ksuva. That's according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, the way that Tosfos gave the numbers, the figures work out the same, but from a very different perspective. Tosfos talks about a ksuva that's mea mana. I think I made a mistake. I told you it was a ksuva salmana. It's not so. It's really like the Tosefis. A mana is mana. Tosfos mea mana. It just means that the total amount is mea mana. Tosfos just gave you an example of everything altogether. So mea mana. Har shir would sell for 40, and the bao shir would sell for 50 for the reasons enumerated in Tosfos. The question is really this. They were mafsid him, his chosafik. How do you define his chosafik? How do you measure? How do you come up with the formula for his chosafik over here in the ksuba? So Rav Chisda says, namely, whatever he would sell his shear for is considered his chosafik. That's what the Edom have to pay him. Rav Nassin has a different way to come up with his chosafik. Given the fact that he could buy her shear and therefore have the difference between her shear and the whole ksuba, that would give him the rest of the ksuba. So his chosafik is that differential. Therefore, that's how much he has monetarily. His monetary stake is 60. L'maisa, people are asking, is there nafkamina? L'chora, there's no nafkamina in terms of the cheshbin, except simply the conceptual. But I want to raise an interesting ha'ara to think about how you could answer this, if there is a difference. But it's a Gemara in Bava Kamma, Perek HaChova. I didn't give it to you on the Makoros, because I wouldn't have to overwhelm everybody, but this is an interesting Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Tes. Suppose the Edim, who are Edim Zomin, testify not that the husband owes ksuva, but that the husband already paid ksuva. In other words, they make up a story that he divorced his wife and he paid her ksuva. The truth is that she's still married and they're zomimin. They're found to be zomimin. So who do they want to make lose here? The woman. But they want to make her lose her ksuva, but maybe she wouldn't get her ksuva anyway, right? Maybe she'd die first. So how much did the Edom have to pay to the woman for this Edus Sheker that they wanted her to lose her ksuva because they said that she was paid her ksuva already? The Gemara says, Ein omnim yishamu kol ksuvasa, ela tovas hanas ksuvasa. They pay her schosafik, her tovas hana. Ezel tovas hanas ksuvasa, omdim, and here we have very familiar language, Omdim kam adam motzalitim b'ksuvasa shelzu shem nisamu nisgar shav meisav yoshen abayla. Okay, and then the Gemara brings it in for the sugya itself. But simply, the Gemara talks about a case where the Edim wanted Mechayev her to lose her ksuva, but maybe she didn't really lose anything because she would never get a ksuva anyway. So what is it that they have to pay her? What did they cause in this Edis Shek, and what did they cause her to lose? The Tovas Hana. So now, let's think about this from the perspective of Rashi and Tosis in light of our sugya. According to Rashi, this Gemara makes perfect sense, right? There's no two ways about it, because the Etzem, when it comes to the Baal, so there's a machokes of Nasa and Rav Chisda, because how much was his chasafik? We said that was 50. That's Rav Chisda. But Rav Nosson has a new perspective. He says, basically, he doesn't know anything right now, and they're making him pay 100, so really they should owe 100, but we subtract and you pay for anyway. That's a unique cheshbin with regard to the Baal. So Rav Nosson could have another shear. He could come up with 60 because of the cheshbin that we said, that's 100 minus 40. That's in terms of the Baal. In terms of the Isha, so there's no two ways about it. What is it that they mafsid her? Then when they say she loses her ksuva, and maybe she wouldn't get it anyway, so what did she lose? She lost 40. She lost what she could sell it for. So the Gemara works out very nicely. Because the chsvara of Rav Chisda, that they mafsid him the whole ksuva, because right now he doesn't know, that unique svara by the Baal, right? But by the Isha, the hefsid is whatever she could have sold it for, which is what the Gemara says, that is Tovas Hana of the Isha. How about according to Tosis, the way we learned up Tosis? The machlokas of Nasan Rav Chisda, and again, it's hard to know precisely why they disagree. People ask that also, it's hard to know. But Lamai said, what is the machlokas over here in our Gemara? Ultimately, what you have to calculate is what is it that the Edom were making him lose? What is his monetary stake, the Baal, in this matzav of Safik and the Ksuma? Two ways to assess. According to Rav Chisda, it's how much he could sell his share of the Safik for. That would be 50. Therefore, the Edom pay 50. What does Rav Nosson say? Ultimately, it also is about what is his chosafik, what is his monetary stake, but he comes with a different figure. Because he has the ability, good, maybe she wouldn't let, maybe she would, but that doesn't bother Rav Nosson. Since it's possible that he could buy her share, her chosafik, and with that he'll have everything, therefore it's viewed as if what he has here at stake, monetary stake for him, is 60. Right, so therefore, it's all about what the math said him, but the calculation is a function of what he could have gotten here through purchasing harshchasa. Now, Rabosai, if that's true, l'chayra, first glance, I could make a similar cheshbin in Adgamar and say, what is it they were causing her to lose? So, if you follow Rav Chisda's cheshbin, so then it would be exactly what she would sell her schus suffix for. So in that case, that's what it says. They have to pay her 40. That's what they made her lose. But according to Rav Nosson and our Gemara, that you can technically assess his schus suffix through the prism of what he would have in the totality through purchasing her angle, her schus suffix. So why couldn't you argue the same thing in the other way around, the reverse? In other words, what is it that they're causing her to lose when they say that she got her ksuva ready? What does she have in this matzav of safik? Well, why say she only has 40? Why not say she has what? 50, because she'll buy his safik from him and have the difference by her. So maybe what she has at stake is 50. So how could you fit this Gemara, Rav Kamet Peites, in light of Shitas Rav Nosson, according to Tosfos? That's where maybe you have to, what to think about. The Kasha would not be a Kasha, according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, you have to know, that can this Gemara square with Rav Nosson, or is it only going to Rav Chisda, or maybe there's some chiluk that you have to make in terms of defining a chosafik of the Baal, because he could purchase hers, but you wouldn't be able to do that in the reverse, for whatever reason. You couldn't say the hers chosafik is measured by what you buy from him. You have to think about why that might be so. But l'chayra, this Gemara would be interesting to ponder here in light of these two approaches in our sugya. Yeah, Alan.
Why is this cheshbon only within Tosfos, not within Rashi?
According to Rashi, the loss is defined in terms of the whole ksuva, because he did not have to pay ksuva now. And now they're making him pay ksuva, so that's specific to the Baal. So that's why we say really it's 100, but now we can subtract. That's one nekuda. Now let's begin to see some other nekudas. We have to get soon to the isha b'ksuvas according to Rav Papa, within how Rashi learns in the Chassim Aruch point. But just to at least state or read what the riff says. And we'll see how a lot of Rishonim play with the riff in terms of the Gemara. It's a different Gemara now. In other words, Rav Chizd Amar Bebal, Rav Nasan Amar Beisha, so we have Rashi, we have Tosfos. Comes the riff, B'Shem HaGaonim, with a new pshat in what these words mean in the Gemara. Ketzad Shamin. Rav Chizd Amar Bebal, Nasan Ba'oshi Amar Beisha, Amar Papa Beisha B'Ksubasa. What do all these words mean? So the riff brings a pshat, Pirish Gaon, Kach Maron Hadvarim. Rav Chizda Amar Bebal. Now, the Rif doesn't directly address who's buying Zchus Safik from who, and what we do with that number. The Rif doesn't directly address that. No, if he doesn't address it, then what would be the default way to read the Mishnah, and we see what we saw in the Rambam, the Pashas, even though we didn't understand it, but what would be the, without having to tweak the Mishnah and try to put something into the Mishnah, what would that mean? Chus chavik of the isha. So whatever reason, however we understand it, but now the question is, when we are going to purchase, when someone's going to purchase a chus chavik in this ksuva, what is it that you have to look at? What factors do you have to consider in terms of coming up with what would be paid for this chus safik? So that has to do with variables that would make it either more likely or less likely for something to happen. Namely, again, you know, who will die first? Well, that could, or who will they get divorced? No. So what could factor in? Okay, age, health. What, you know, this is what the insurance companies do all day, right? And also in terms of the possibility of divorce. So then, what's the level of friction or lack of friction in the house? Does it look like there could be, you know, this is the facts of life in terms of this issue? Says the Rif, Pirish Gon Kach Mar Nadvar Mavchiz Do Amar Bibal Hayeshna Zaken Shu Kiminik Haolam Karav Lemisa Yosim and Abachurim. So is the Baal? Do we? Is the focus on the Baal? How old is he? How much life span does he have left? More than someone younger? So will he outlive her? Hacholahu obari. Obarihu. That's another issue with the Baal. The Baal, in other words, what is the state of health? Another issue relating to the Baal, says the Rif, Hayesh lo nechasim rabim, kar ve'en av l'garsha. In other words, what would be a deterrent? One of the reasons for the ksuba is it shouldn't be kar ve'en av l'hotzia. When he has these nechasim that have to pay, if he divorces her, so if there's very little assets, then he'd rather not part with those little minimal assets to give her for the divorce. But if he has plenty of assets, then it doesn't really bother him if he'll have to part with some of them. So that means if he has a lot of money, then it's more likely he'll divorce her. He won't be deterred by the fact that he has to part with whatever amount because he has plenty more. That's another point of Bibao. So again, you see, how old is he? How sick or healthy is he? Does he have a lot of nechasim shekara be'en av l'garsha v'lasis kol ksuvasa? Another point, hayesh b'nei meriva shekar v'garsham rav. Now here, the hayesh b'nei meriva means from the perspective of the Baal. All this is the shita of Chizda Bibao. No, is he a temperamental person? Okay, that's a point of Chizda. Rav Nasan ba'oshia amar b'chiluf hadvarim halalu. In other words, we're going to look at these variables from the other side, on the woman's side. Meaning to say, hachola hi imbriya, how healthy or not healthy is she? How frail? Haskena hi imyalda, how old is she or how young is she? Kehukeach mekach kazet, shamhu kazos. This is how the Rif learns, again, Rav Chizda and Rav Nasan. How does Rav Papa weigh in on this according to the Rif? Let's continue here the Rif. Amar Rav Papa, Beisha Biksuvasa. So the Rif points out, Midarminan Amar Rav Papa, Vormin Rav Papa Amar, Garminan Daltaimid Rav Nasan Barushia Samach, Upirushi Parashe Ohosifbe. In other words, it says, Amar Rav Papa, so he's supplementing, either explaining or supplementing Rav Nasan, which indicates we should follow Rav Nasan. which means what is he adding? He accepts Rav Nassim's premise that we focus on the Isha, but he adds another variable. Is there a lot to be gained in this ksuva? In which case, I'll pay more because I'll get more. I'll risk more. Or is it just very little to gain in the ksuva? Something interesting. In other words, he'll pay more if he'll get more. It's not just about the percentages, because you would argue, what's the difference? In other words, it's a whole question of how much would he put up in order to get X amount, that multiplied. No. Apparently, psychologically speaking, Rishonim point this out, a person sees a dollar sign, so they'll pay more because they look at that, the appeal is greater. So Rav Papa is simply adding another variable within Rav Nassim. Nassim says that what you have to look at when you're buying the ksuba, apparently the issue is buying ksuba from the Isha. That seems to be clear now from Rav Papa. But it's not just the issue of her health and her age. He doesn't add here the issue of whether she's likely to provoke a fight. That's what some people add as well on her end. Rip doesn't speak out here by us. But that could also be an issue of the Isha side. Even though he has to divorce her, but she could provoke it. But there's one more factor, says Rav Papa, and that is the amount that would be coming to him in the ksuva. Now, there's a lot of issues with the Rif. Before we even see, a lot of Rishonim combine the Rif with other things. So the Rif learns the Gemara the way he does. And the Rambam we saw also seems to work with the Rif, and the Rambam learns here from the first, it sounds like, unless the Mishnah Melech is correct, that you put something more into the Rambam, that we're talking about Har Tov Asana. But the difficulty is raised by the Ritva on this chat. Because seemingly, how could there be machlokes from whose side you look at it? Seemingly, the issue that we have to consider, who's going to die first? Or will there be a divorce? So how can you just look at that issue from one person's perspective and not the other? In other words, anyone who's going to put money down, by definition, is going to have to look at both sides. So what could be the point of looking, the Baal, the Isha, the Maisa, it's totally in both. It's not just about his age. Let's say he's very old, but she's older. So what would it mean that he's old? So big deal, but she could be more close to positive. And so on. What the health? Why would it be a machlokes? That's the Ritva asks on this on the Ritva. He brings Rashi's pshat, which he likes. Yeah. But Meir HaLevi Zal, he quotes it first. They ask in Rashi, Fikach Pir Shuhem, the Kuyam of Pesavik Machirasa Shamin, El Beshaomet Zeh Nechuku. Rav Chizkiya Sava Shomdin Bebal, Kfishana Vubriyuso, and who yelled Obari Ozaki no Chole, Kfishno Sava Vubriyuso, Shava Yosef, Suffix Chusa. Rav Nassim Baoshia Sava Shomdin Beisha, Bishaneha Obibriyuso, Chem Pirisharif. Now he adds, the Ritva within this Pshad, the Od Hosif, Hosifu, this is Rush adds, Binyazel, Mandam Bebal, Lashum Bekabdanuso Babais, the gam bevatranuso b'mamon im yehi mar legarsham rav. So b'bal, there's other things to think about. How much of a captain is he? How much? How mad does he get when things don't go his way? How generous is he that he wouldn't be so deterred from divorcing? Mandav beisha savar she'omdi bekaptanusa gamke. Now we have to look at her temperament. Ki afa pisha in biyad legarish es atzma, she can't cause the gerishin directly. Mikomak mtuchulak nito umiikale atche garishera, she keep creating friction for him to want to divorce her. Says the Ritva, here's his kasha. The ein perushim elu mechuvarim. All this I don't like. Demai de parish b'shanim u b'riyuso ena machlokes. It's not gabe other people in the world. What do I care that he's older than other people? The issue is he's older than a wife. Or healthier than the wife. So the whole issue of the Baal is also relatively speaking to the Isha. So in far as age and health, says the Ritva, it's always going to be a function of both. So what's the machokas? The Ivra, Shabin Kapdanuso, Yesh Chilu Gadol. Okay, that already, there could be a difference. Who's more temperamental? Avalab Bishuftin Yaskinan. Lamais of Kosha, not talking about fools. Kosha Osa Omed Bishneim, who Osa Omed. Kimosha Osa Koladam, Chomekach, Osa Shemai, Bechorat Studim, Efshulios, Bosa Mekach. So the Ritva is making a very strong point on the Ritva. What would it be a function of one versus the other? Seemingly, anyone who puts their money down has to obviously calculate both things. Okay, so this we have to know. Yeah.
You know, after Rishu read the Rif, meaning that, like, he thought it was Pashut that when the Rif says what he says, you look at it from each perspective, you would be taking all into account. Like, when you look at the husband's perspective, you'd be looking at his health, her health, Shalom Bayit.
So then, what's the Machlokas?
But the Machlokas is, right, because he has those advantages. He has the money in his hands, they can eat from the karka already. Meanwhile, from hers, they would have to go collect the money. We went to those. They were saying the same thing as Rashi, except for the fact that you would take everything into account.
Yeah, but Rashi's pshat, those points of any Rashi are only within the pshat that the word bebal is his chosafik versus her chosafik. It's a different pshat in the Gemara. You can't have both pshatim in the words at the same time. In other words, the words of the Gemara says ketzad shamin. The Mishnah says what it says. Comes to Gemara ketzad shamin. So one man says bebal, one says beisha, and then Rav Papa says what he says. So according to Rashi, those words bebal beisha mean all the things that Rashi says. His chosafik. Hars Chosafik, which is deducted from the Hoksuva, according to Rashi, according to Tosis, also is going to come down to that for a different reason. But then the words are what they're saying, and there's nothing more to add. There's nothing, you can't bring the Rif into the mix. If you're going to say the Rif, then we're not saying Rashi. Then seemingly we're just saying a separate point. Do we focus on the Baal's age and health, etc., or on the woman's? It says the Ritva. So then. But you mean every you have to focus on both. So what how can you put the Rif and Rashi together?
You would be focusing on both from his perspective and from her perspective, but his would still be worth more because of the things that Rashi mentioned in the Mishnah.
Yeah, but there's a machlokas. Remember, one says beba, one says beisha. So there's a machlokas. What is the machlokas about?
That, those specific things, if you should pay more, taking everything into account, helping both sides, if it should you should pay for his side.
But I hear he's saying, but the words of the Gemara are presenting a machlokas. One man damar comments, bibal. One says beisha. And those are two different opinions that are now stated. According to the Rif, the word bibal means we look at the bow side of the equation. In other words, his health, his age, etc. Rav Nassim disagrees and presents a different view, says Beisha. And notice, the Rif continues. And what's our Papa doing? He's agreeing with Rav Nassim, but he's adding another factor. So the point of the disagreement, clearly in the Rif, is a disagreement about whose factors are you going to take into account when you're putting down your money. And it's going to mean a different amount of, different amount of money that's going to be assessed. Because Rav Papa says, Rav Nassim, you're right, but I want to add or explain within your shita something else, and that is how big the ksuva is. So then the whole point of Rashi is not on the table now. We just read the Rif, so it's clearly not Rashi's, and you see from the Ritva that way, that he brings Rashi's pshat, then he brings this Ramah. So it's a different gemara.
Yeah, we didn't
add. But I mean, you hear where...
We just thought it was so obvious. I guess obviously
the Ritva's cut. You have to know. Okay, maybe thoughts to think. Maybe Lamaisa, even though it's true, you can take both into account, but you're biased. You have to speak to the people in the field, insurance, right? But it could be that what you look at first creates a certain bias in terms of the figures that come out, even though after that, you do go to the other side, but like where you start somehow gives you, you know, somehow gives you more of an edge in terms of how the numbers, you know, get crunched afterwards. I don't know. Yeah.
Based off the riff, who says that we're evaluating, how can
Tosos,
if we say like Tosos, we're assuming that
Tosos is not the riff.
We're saying that we know that she's going to sell the super to him.
Tosus never said no. That was back to Tosus. We didn't know that he was going to sell, but apparently Rav Nassim still was willing to say that the schus ha-safik of the Baal is measured by what he possibly could get if he bought it. I don't really know why, you know, he argues that what's the point that they disagree, but that's back to Tosus. In other words, do we view his monetary stake based on not a for sure, but based on that it could be that way? That's enough to say that that's his monetary stake. That's
ptosis. But wouldn't the woman, if we're evaluating, the woman also realizes that it won't be good for her, like, let's say it's in her odds not to sell.
No, it's not talking about, we're not talking about selling it this minute. I mean, it could be that it's nice to have the money right now. She could, conceivably she could sell it to him. She doesn't know what's going to be later. I mean, based on these considerations.
Okay,
but then Tosis doesn't work with the risk considerations. It's different Gemara. Again, it's like we're looking at the Gemara now with different lenses now. We went through Rashi, Tosis, now we'll look at the riff. It's a different Gemara. And again, you could a little bit mix and match, but not the way you're doing it. In other words, we'll see, if we'll get to it, the Rashi has his own pshat in the Mishnah, a whole new pshat, but when it comes to Baal B'Isha, he learns like the riff. He has a new pshat in what this omdin of the Mishnah is. He connects it to the next Mishnah. It's a whole new pshat. The Rush doesn't like Rashi, and he comes with a whole new pshat in what the omdin of the Mishnah is. But then he learns the Baal B'Isha like the Riv does in some way. Yeah.
Can Rabbi just explain again what Rav Papa's adding?
According to the Riv, Rav Papa's adding, there's another variable B'Isha that would affect the amount of money that would be paid for this Sufik, and that is how big a ksuva is going to be. And again, that too has to be explained, because it's a function of percentages. What if he's a bigger ksuba, he'll pay more money. Apparently, even if the percentage is a bigger percentage of the ksuba and less of a profit, but he'll pay more money for a greater amount of money, even if it's less profit, than he'd pay for a lesser amount of money, right? You know, for percentage wise. I don't know. But it sounds like we also have to take into account how much money he'd be getting, how big a ksuba it is. Yeah.
When we say that in Rashi and Tosfos, when they're evaluating his or her chosseka, are we also taking into account who's sick when we're evaluating?
That's what you're trying to get at, but it doesn't seem to enter into the equation, and it doesn't get mentioned.
You're saying we're just looking at that, but
according
Rashi's
to the right.
Also value, because otherwise how
but, but the difference is that? According to Rashi, the Baal B'Isha mean who's chesafik or what is getting assessed, and then what you do with it.
No, for sure, but would we be evaluating Kola, because
doesn't
make any sense, because then there could be times where hers chesafik.
Yeah, that's why I think you're both asking. It's a good point. You're asking a legitimate point. How much of that has to be also recognized? Maybe that also will be, but it's not stated. It's not stated in the Gemara.
The way we read Tosos is referring to like a Stam case, where, like, you know, they're both the same age and they're both in finance.
Could be. So could be if it changes. It could be. It will change. But it's not part of the sugya. You know, look, every situation is unique, and it could be that case will call for a different amount based on this, but it's not in the Gemara. In other words, it's just take it for granted if that, but it's not part of the sugya. According to Rashi and Tosfos, that those issues are not part of the Gemara. Now, just remind you again, the Rashi, after his own pshat, did bring another pshat, which he rejected, but just to speak it out again, we don't have an answer for it, but Rashi did bring a pshat, a new pshat of the Baal B'Isha and B'Ksuvasa. What did Rashi say at the very end of the Amud? That Rav Chisda says the Baal, meaning let's look at the quality of the karak of the Baal. Is it Edis, first grade type land, or is it Ziburis? So the Tovas Hana, which again Rashi is assuming within this Pshat, which is because the default is that way in the Mishnah. The Tovas Hana of the Isha, Harskul Safik, is what's being sold, and that's what the Beidim are paying him. But you have to evaluate, says Rav Chisda, by the type of karka that the Baal has, because if he has good karka, then that would be more of an incentive to pay money, more money to the Isha for the possibility of getting, collecting for the Ksuva good karka, Yidis karka. If that Baal has only Ziburis karka, well, a person wouldn't pay as much money to have the schus to buy, to of her schus to be able to possibly collect suva that's going to end up only being ziburis. So it's going to matter whether it's idis or ziburis. That's the pshat of chizda bebal, right? Comes Rav Nassim and says beisha. Comes Rav Pup and explains Rav Nassim. And what does he say? That when Rav Nassim said beisha, what did he mean? He meant what? The ksuvasa, namely what?
Not better.
What?
Not better.
No, no, no. I want to know the last pshat of Rashi. What does it mean? Karka miuchedes uksuvas. In other words, Rav Nassim did not explain himself. Rav Papa explains Rav Nassim what he meant by uksuvasa is the karka that's miuchedes. Not so much whatever karkos he might have, but whatever karka he's designated to uksuvas. This is the pshat that Rashi says, I heard. Rashi questions it for numerous reasons. Number one, Rashi says, give me megam gimba. Number one, Rashi says, it comes out according to the pshat, whose schus safik are they paying the Baal? Schus sveka. So Rashi says, why should that be? They're not mafsid him, har schus safik. That's kasha number one. How did Rashi know that's what this pshat was assuming? They didn't really state that. That's what some achronim wonder, but pashtas, the answer is, because if it doesn't say anything in the Gemara that's changing the most basic reading of the Mishnah, then the default reading of the Mishnah is what the words seem to suggest, which is schus safek. So Rashi took that to be according to his pshat. That's what it means. So Rashi asked that. That's one problem. Second problem is that the Lashon on Gemara is not mashmeh that way. It says bibal. According to that reading of the Gemara, it should have said bi nechsei abal. Second kasha. And the third kasha is, if Rav Nassim is saying the karka is miyuchad uksuva, then what would Rav Chisda be disagreeing on? That if the karka is miyuchad uksuva and there's something else that he has, so what? Who cares what else he has? What matters is the karka is miyuchad uksuva. So my time is Rav Chisda Paul. So Rashi leaves that as a pshat that he cannot make any sense of. But that was another reading, and all different readings of the same words of the Gemara. Now let's backtrack. Within Rashi's pshat of the sugya, so we have the Rashi clear, right? We have the baal, the words of bibaal, his chosafik. We have beisha, meaning that we have to deduct hars chosafik from the total ksuva, as we explain within Rashi. And now we have to go back and zero in on Rav Papa. So this again, get your bearings here. Within the pshat of Rashi, what's the meaning of Rav Papa's beisha ubiksuvas? So Rashi says, Amar Rav Papa, beisha shamin, we didn't cite the Rashi together, beisha shamin kirav nasin, that's first thing, ubiksuvasa. But I want you to know something new, something more. First wide line in the Rashi, the very wide lines. Biksuvasa, lo yishalmu lo. Now the gets again. What did Rav Nassim say? As Rashi just said a minute before, we shats up, we evaluate the schus safek of the isha, and we deduct that from the entire ksuva, which is a higher amount, therefore that they're paying the baal, according to Rav Nassim. But Rav Papa says, I want you to realize something. Biksuvasa, lo yishalmu la ela ha'odef biksuvasa al adam halol. The only thing that they have to pay him is the differential, the amount, over and above the value of Har Tovas Hanar the Ksuva, till the amount of the Ksuva itself. The Ksuva could be 100 for an Amana, it could be 200 for a Psula, there's a Tosefes Ksuva. You'll have to know. Rashi says the Ksuva. Avalo Nechsi Melug Shela, but not Nechsi Melug. Now, there's Nechsi Melug and Nechsi Tzom Bar, so let's define our terms. Rashi does not directly address Nechsi Tzom Barzel. Typically, those are written in the Ksuva. But Nechsi Tzom Barzel is things that she brings in from her father's house to the marriage that the husband assumes responsibility, achray, is for. No matter what happens at the end of the day, when the marriage gets dissolved, he has to reimburse the amount that it was worth, that it was evaluated at the time that it came into the marriage. That's called Nechsi Tzom Bar. So Rashi did not address what about that. Rashi addresses Ksuvasa as opposed to Nechsi Melug. Nechsi Melug means that it's called, another way it's referred to in the Mishnah, is nechasim hanachnasin vayotzen imma, goes in and out, meaning to say, whatever it is, the baal is ochel peres, and whatever state it's in at the time that, let's say, divorces her, she gets back whatever it is at that point. But the baal does not have to reimburse what it was worth before and what it's worth now. In other words, the baal keeps enjoying the peros, like melug, meaning like to strip something, to pluck or feathers, melug. So just basically, he keeps plucking, enjoying it. There's wear and tear, there's peros, and that's it, that's fine. But whatever's left at the end goes back to her. So she basically, the goof is hers, the peris is his. If she predeceases him, he has a schus yerusha, he yarshins the nechsim melug, the goof itself. So now, Rav Papa is telling us that this shita of Rav Nassin, you should understand that when they pay the odef b'ksuvasa l'dam alalu avlo nechsim melug shela. Ay, l'chora, you should have said that the edus that they testified that he owes her, that he owes her. So they mafsid him now, nechsim melug, he's been enjoying the nechsim melug. So what are they mafsid him? They mafsid him the peros that he's been eating. So look at the words of Rashi. Rashi says, interesting thing. Rashi says, what are they mafsid in terms of nechsim melug? Milecho peros bechayeha. That I understand. Rashi says further, umilirash osa bemosa. What else are they taking away from him when they testify that he divorced her? The potential Yerusha of later. So this is where Rav Papa is saying, but that Em Shalman, for the reason Rashi is about to enumerate. But before we go on in Rashi, I want to point out something very interesting. The point of Nilechel Paris, I understand. There's Chus Achilas Paris that deprived me of, and that's an amount of money that maybe they should have to pay for when there's Zomim. But the potential Yerusha, if Edom come along and say, Reuven, you thought Reuven was a son of this person, and they say he's not a Yorish, so he won't be Yorish from this father because it's not really the father. And they found Zomimin. Is there something to talk about that they mafsid him, the Schus Yerusha, for Lachamei Ve'esim of this other person by saying he's not a Yorish? Like, what did Rashi mean? That part of what you would have to consider here, exactly how you'd figure it out, I don't know. But anyway, Papa says it doesn't get calculated in. But they mafsid him, what? Milecho peros umilirash osa bemosa. That which he's yoresh her, that's the din of nechsim melug, that he's yoresh the guf. If she dies first, that's part of what maybe they should have to pay him. What do you mean? That's not here now. It's a schus yerusha for afterwards. What does that have to do with now? Again, I gave an example. They testify that somebody's not a Yorish. There's what to talk about. They should pay him the loss of what could happen later, that he won't Yarsha. What does that mean? Maybe Rashi, not Dafka, would mean it over here, not by regular Yerusha. There's an interesting Lashon of Rashi in Bava Kama Pezayin, the last Rashi on the Mishnah over there. By in Perkachovel, Pei Zayna Medalef in Bava Kama, Rashi says, "Shenichse meluk shel isha mishubadim lebal leperos vili Yerusha." Sounds like the definition of nichse meluk. It's not just memela. He yarshins his wife, so he yarshins whatever. The definition of the very contract of nichse meluk is it's mishubid to the baal for two things, for peros and yerusha. In other words, that's the definition of the schus the baal has in nechsim melug. Right now, he has the schus of peros and the yerusha for later. But it's not a new hischadshus of later on. Mele, he's yoresh. By a regular yoresh, there's nothing to talk about right now. What will be later is later. So the edim are not chayiv now for saying he's not going to be a yoresh when the time comes. The difference over here is that the schus yerusha of nechsim melug is not a schadshus of later on when he's yorish or he's yorish nechsim melug. It's part of the definition of the contract, so to speak. The nechsim melug, as Rashi has here, the lashon mishubadim lebal lip peros vili yerusha. So that could be how you calculate. I don't know exactly, but the Maaser Papa says you don't calculate it. But what you would have said exactly, I don't know. But the idea is, yeah, they're massed him the schus of nechsim melug. That has two parts to it. The schus of nechsim melug is Achilas Paris now and the schus now that I have to be Yorish for afterwards. So Rashi does include that in the issue where Papa is commenting on. Again, it wouldn't be true by Stama Yorish because there's nothing to talk about now. Whatever is later is later. Here, the schus is built into Nichsim Aluv that he has a schus, it's Meshubit, that he has the Yerusha of that. Okay, so what does our Papa say? Yeah, go ahead.
Rabbi is saying you're bothered by...
I'm bothered by how Rashi could consider in the equation that the mafsid him, means you have to pay for that hefsid. What hefsid? The hefsid of Achilles Peres, good. B'chayeha. Umili Rashos. Where would you find such a thing? That Edim should have to pay for a hefsid that they cause a person that he won't be over something in whatever many years?
Isn't the Mishnah along similar lines? B'halo b'im b'yom b'im l'achar. Like something that may happen later on that... may occur in a certain way.
This here is saying that he's not entitled. The Mishnah is saying he has to pay now. He may not have to pay anyway. Here is saying something else. They're testifying that somebody is not going to be able to possibly get something later on. It will be equated maybe to the Baba Kama that I started with. In other words, they say that she got her ksuba paid already. If anything, you compare it to that case. In other words, she may get ksuba later on, but he says, no, it was paid already. It's not even a perfect example, but if you don't compare it, that would be the comparison. But I don't know, by Yoresh, would you imagine such a thing? They testify that somebody is not a Yoresh. So they're mafsidim. What are they causing to lose that he's not going to maybe be Yoresh, whatever point? That's called the mafsidim something now? The schus that's not here yet. If I have the schus now, see, that's why in this case there's a schus right now that they took away from him. That's the question here. By Yoresh, a person is alive and kicking, and there's a child, and they say that child is not a Yoresh. So they took away his schus. Every situation of people living with a Yorishim is because there's a schus Yerusha Mechayim to be Yorish Lachamisa. They're walking around carrying that schus with them. And they took away the schus. I mean, the halacha is lacham evesim. There's your yours. There's halacha of nachla. It's not like they took away something right now. So why would you want to talk about the Aden testifying? Somebody's not a yorish. Someone is not.
She was a billionaire. You wouldn't say that. Now
they took away. He's not going to have that ability
to be a billionaire?
No. They deprived him of the possibility of being yorish. He's not walking around with a schus, but the answer is he is. That's what it is. The nichsim alug are meshubit to the Baal for two things: for achilas peres today and for Yerusha afterwards. So there's a schus in the present right now that they are taking away from him. But in the case stam of a yoresh, you don't say that he's walking around with a schus Yerusha. The din is that there's a Yerusha when there'll be Yerusha. There'll be Yerusha.
So you explain also about that the woman's carrying around the schus of getting a ksuba. Like
she has a claim. It's not nitna ligvos mechaim. Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's not a real example. It's not a good analogy to there either. There is a claim. It's just not nitna. You have to know how to be magdir it. But pashtus luchura. It's not that there is already something that exists. There's a mshibud aksuba. There's halachas already that are chal now. The claim is not nitna ligvos mechaim, but there is already a hechatimsa here, a framework for the ksuba. I don't know that you would say that by a normal Yerusha. But if you say that the payers nechse belug are meshubet for Yerusha, then you could say that they were massed in that schus. So that's what the Rapapa is saying. No, we don't say that they should have to pay when they found zomin for the loss of nechse belug, the achilas payers and the mili rasho. So why not? So here's the key. Emeshalma, the acholin lomar, the edom can say, unalo he'adnu, ela al ksuvasa. We're only testifying regarding suva, the lo yadanu shahayu nechsim alug. Oh, we didn't know that there was nechsim alug. So that's where Pub is adding to Rav Nassim. B'isha, but the calculation b'isha is not going to take into account the nechsim alug loss on the husband's part that they caused him, because they can say we didn't testify about that. We didn't know she had it. Obviously, what immediately comes to mind and should come to mind is the Gemara. Which Gemara? Eidei Nar Morasa, that Tosis quoted on Beis Amid Aleph, the Gemara Sanhedrin Mem Aleph, that the case over there was, they testified that she was Mizana, they did not give her Asra, Lemaisa, she was an Isha Chaveira. I mean, she knows the halachas, and according to one Tana, which we go, the Gemara is going that Tana, that a chaver ain't sarach hasra. So based on this edus, there's enough grounds to mechayev her misa for znus, because she didn't need hasra. Yet the edim can always say, we never intended for her to get killed. We only wanted to edus to testify b'nogeya what? She asked to her husband for being mizana on her husband. She's asked to her husband. She's mizana b'ratzon, she's asked on her husband. Osra by Labanu. And therefore, we cannot kill her based on this edus. We can't kill the edim to give them kashazama on killing them. And based on that, we can't kill her either because it makes an edus sheh. But that's the Gemara there. But Maisa, we see the edim have an ability to not be nenash. Kasha Zamam on something that they can claim we did not intend to testify on that. We did not want her to get killed. We didn't know that she was a Chaveira. We didn't know Chaveira in Sri Chasra. We didn't know about that. We only wanted Osra Baila, Mimela. We can't kill the Eden. And that's the Gemara there. So Rashi brings that idea here as well. Fek the Ramban, both in the Chidushim, here in Chidushin the Rabban, as well as in the Machamos, I give you in the Machamos, he asks on this Rashi. How does he ask the Kasha? Let's look at the language from the Machamos, how he asks on Rashi, the last couple lines from the Machamos here. Umasha Omar Rabbeinu Shlomo, that we just read, Sheyomru Ha'edim Lo Yadanu Shahayu Lam Nichsi Meluk, says the Rabban, Im Kain, Af B'Nichsi Tzom Barzo Yomru Kain. So the Ramban brings in Nechzit Tzom Barzo. So we had Nechzit Tzom Barzo as contrast to Nechzit Milug. Nechzit Milug, we said, was the Baal's Ocha Paris, and whatever state it's in at the time of the Gerishin is what she gets back. Nechzit Tzom Barzo, there's an assurance that she gets back the value that it was assessed at the time that she brought it in. So the Ramban assumes that this is unique to Nechzit Milug, that Rav Papa is saying that they won't have to pay for that loss because they'll say we didn't know that she had it. So Nechzit Tzom Barzo should be the same thing. They shouldn't have to pay for that either. And the Ramban assumes that that should be paid for. When the Ritva asks the Kasha, he brings the Ramban's Kasha, he also asks, the Ramban asks, has also further Kasha. Take another look, another two lines here. It sounds like they are paying that. V'chein muchach b'perek ha'chovel. Interesting. What is his raya there? That's the Gemara I began with, but you have to see what the Ramban has in mind with that Gemara. That was the Eidim that said that she was paid her ksuma. The Ramban sees in that Gemara that they have to pay Tzom Barzo. That's the other way around. They said she got paid. Another kash of the Ramban. V'od, b'ik ha'ksuma nami yomru svurin hayinu sha'almana niseis v'ein la'el amana. What's another kasha? Almana gets 100 mana, and Apsula gets Messiah. The same is for Ksuba. So why, and it's pashtus if they pay the difference between whatever the Tova son of the woman and the amount of the Ksuba, so by Ksuba it will be Ksuba of Messiah. Why? You should always say that Adam Kentaina, we thought she was only entitled to a mana. So, same way they're saying this in the Lug, they don't have to pay for it. They shouldn't pay for the loss of a higher Ksuba, of a Ksuba. The Ritva asks from Tosefis Ksuba, when he brings the Ramban's Kasha, Nedunya is another word for what? No, say it again. What's Nedunya also called? Nechsei? Sombarza, correct. Nedunya is another way of saying Sombarza. And so the Ramban, according to the first version of the Ramban's Kashi, is asking Tosefis. We have three Kashis. The same way that they could say on Nechsei Malug, we didn't know she had it. So they don't have to pay for it. They shouldn't have to pay Nechzit Tzom Barzo. They shouldn't have to pay for Tosefes, the way the Ritva brings. They shouldn't have to pay a Psula's Ksuba. They should pay, we thought it was only a Messiah. So what is the Ramban trying to prove from here? Ella, Kevan She'em Yodim, Shafiu Ksuvasa Meya Mane, Heim Afsidim Oso, Ba'aldas Kein Ba'u, the Afal Pish Inam Yodim Chayavin V'Chei Minich Simalot. So essentially, what's the Ramban saying? Lemaisa, it could be money, it could be Masayim. They don't have to know. They know that Mafsid has something, and it could be that it was Masayim. That's good enough to make him pay Masayim. It could be that it's a Tosefes Ksuba. So whatever that is, that's part of what they're coming for. So too, Nechsi Meluk, it could be that Nechsi Meluk. What's the difference in Sanhedrin and Malf according to the Ramban? Why would the Ramban understand it over there? What makes that different? What do we say? What's the Pshat in the Ramban? So I, but the Gemara Sanhedrin says that they could say Losa Abai Laban. So they could say, yeah?
Alec said in Seder that maybe there's a chiluk to make because over here it's all about Pseudo, that you can't claim about.
No. It's something more simple. It's more simple than that. And you see this in the Ritva when he defends Rashi. One way to answer Rashi, the Ritva's answer, yeah?
Maybe in the Nara case, they don't know that they
right, they don't know Tishchaybi. So from their perspective, they're Vadai. Also, Balaban, according to Ramban, means definitively, we had no idea. We our assumption was that she's not Chaimis. The Dafka wasn't Lo Osor Abai. It wasn't only Lo Osor Abai Laban. In other words, to the extent that there's any possibility in their minds that it could be more, they just don't know. That's called that's a basis to Mechayev them. There, it's clearly that they're saying we don't have any attention whatsoever to Misa. We don't think there's Chaiv Misa here. But as long as you know that this could be a psul, could be an amana, could be to whatever to service, could be a smiluk, of course you have to pay. It all that's good enough. That's cool. That they schemed for that. If they clearly did not intend, because they in their minds it was not going to lead to chiyum misa. That's the Gemara Sanhedrin. Yes, so man.
Rabbi, wouldn't it be that the reason why Nifse Melod is different is because every single other case they're already in the Kesuvah and yet Aiden would testify on it, so it shouldn't be considered as
a... Well, we're not defending Rashi yet. Let's go slow. We're explaining the Ramban. You want to come to answer Rashi in a second? What's it? Let's go slow. There's two ways I think we can say for Rashi. Two mahalchim we can present for Rashi. And then we have to come back and see the mahalchis for the Ramban, what the Ramban disagrees with. What? Yeah.
How is the Ramban reading when Rashi says the odor?
It means between, in other words, there is the amount that you deduct from what? In other words, you deduct from what sum the topas and of the woman. So if it's, according to Rashi, only the ksuv itself. But according to Rashi, we're going to assume right now that means some barzel is included, the sefes is included. But whatever reason, Mixamagog is not, because they'll say we didn't know about it. So the odef is, you know, that amount. Gumash, Tosu said... What was example? Tosis kuf mana. So as I noted before, kuf mana is more than just the ksuba. It's according to Tosefis, because ksuba of an amana is mana and a psua is mesayim. Tosis is kuf mana. So Tosis obviously is talking about a ksuba including Tosefis. And we're deducting, Tosis is a different way of understanding it, but we're deducting from the kuf mana the 40, right? Mm-hmm. According to Rav Nasa. So obviously we're considering the full amount, including the Tosefis. So Rashi says that Tzon Barzel, it sounds like Rashi with Tzon Barzel and Tosefis and Ksuvas Pesula, all that has to be factored in. You just deduct the amount of her schus, which she said. The Rabban asked, the same way you're not going to take into account the Nechsim Malog, you shouldn't take into account these other things either. Comes the Ritva and says, I don't understand the Rabban's kasha. Ramban's al hiksha, as we read. V'lo yaradna l'sof kushazu. Because I'll tell you a very simple difference. Da'ika l'memar, the shiny nichsim alug. Why? L'fisherov nashim ein lehem nichsim alug. Most women, he assumes, do not have nichsim alug. V'chi isluhu les l'kolakol kach. When they do, it's not known. It doesn't have a, you know, people don't talk about it as much. Because it's not written in the ksuba. V'she'ena nechtav miksuba. And therefore, they can certainly make the claim, Yachon Lomar Lo Yadana Shayula. That's why Rashi says what he says when it comes to Nechsim Alug, Avot Tosefes Unidunya, Rov Nashim Yeshlem, Yeshlem Kol, Fish Nechtav Miksuva. But Rashi would very well agree, if there was Nixi Malug that was Mefursam, then of course you have to shot that up, you have to put that in as well. So according to the Ritva, Rashi is not really totally on the different page than the Ramban. It's just a question of what? Rashi holds that Nixi Malug is not, it's basically like the case of Sanhedrin. According to the Ritva, if they have a question in their mind, maybe it's there, maybe it's, you know, maybe he has it, and it most probably it's out there. It's easy to know. So the mechuyif, that's part of what they're mechuyif for. It's different here. It sounds like they're first saying, because it's not known, so they can assume. I'm not sure how to put it, but I would like to put it this way. Maybe you disagree. You know, what is the advancing for Rashi? You know, I don't want to advise anybody. What's the Ritva's answer for Rashi? Yeah. How do you read it? Please, Moshe. Yeah, Moshe.
No, I have a question.
Go ahead, yeah.
If Rogue Nashim go down Nixim Malug,
that's what the Ritva assumes,
right,
yeah.
Then why would the Eden know that in this specific case?
That's exactly right. So that's why I...
It is a really good...
Correct, precisely. So that's why I'd like to read the Ritva. Correct. The Ritva is saying, we, in our minds, she's like Rogue Nashim. The fact that she had Nixim Malug, that's, we had no idea, we would never have thought for such a thing. Rav Nashim don't have it. So our clear assumption was that she didn't have it. But the fact that Tzon Barzel is known, so you can't put your head in the sand and you didn't know. You have to assume that, because she could very well have it. I, or myself, maybe they didn't know. It's your problem. In other words, if you know that it could be, that's good enough to make you chayiv. That's what the Ritva, I think, would be saying. So the Ramban and Rashi are not really disagreeing so much. It's not a lumdish machlokis about this idea of l'osro b'ayavanu. According to the Ritva, Nixi Malug is different. In other words, because they have every reason to assume that she didn't have it. They didn't, because most people don't have it. But when most people have, then you have to recognize it could be that she has it. That's the Ritva. However, if you look in the Rush, when he quotes Rashi, he has another kash afterwards, but he quiz. After quoting the Rashi of Papa Amar Ubola Hosif the Dafka Ksuvasa Yisham Voskos Yeshu Nesimalog, after quoting Rashi, they could say Lo Yadanu V'Yeroe the Gam Tosefes Ksuva the Nechsei Tzom Barzo Ein Mishalmin Ufisha Lo Yadu Behem. So the Rashi says it clearly that so too Tosefes Ksuva and Nechsei Tzom Barzo Ein Mishalmin Ufisha Lo Yadu Behem. So, what does Rashi hold itself? I don't know about each of these cases, but for sure, what you see here is a lamdish machlokes, the way the Rush at least interprets Rashi, that the Metzius is not in dispute. You know, if the Ritva tells us that Rov Nashim have Nechzit Tzom Barzo, right? So I don't think the Rush is going to disagree with that premise, right? So what comes out of the Rush now? Even something where Rov Nashim have it, but they didn't know. Lo Yad. If Lo Yadu, then the Nachayev. They could always say, we didn't know. But they don't know, then Achayev. So it comes out, now we have to start thinking deeper. So what is the Machlokas? What could be the Machlokas here? We had the Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Aleph, that the Edom could say, Lo Osro Bai Labanu. And therefore they're not chayiv misa for killing her, even though the Eidus had in it the potential to kill her. According to Rashi, that carries over to a case like this. It doesn't have to mean that they for sure knew that she wouldn't get killed. Apparently, it would also mean, as long as it's not for sure that she's going to get, you know, could be we only, you know, we didn't intend for that. Our attention was something else. We don't know that she'd be killed, maybe. That's not what we're thinking about. That seems to be enough that they're not chayiv. So too over here. It could be that there's Tosefes. It could be a Tzom Barzel. It's not like Rov Nashim don't have it. And yet, it's enough to say that they don't know. They don't know. They don't know. They're not chayiv, according to the Rush. And the Ramban is saying that if there's an understanding that it could exist, that's enough to make you chayiv. So to think about this, and I want to use the Piskei Rid. Have you got there yet or not? So there's Piskei Rid. Piskei Rid, it's not exactly like Rashi, but I think it gives us a very important opportunity to think about Rashi in contrast to the Ramban. This can have very interesting ramifications to go back to Sanhedrin and also to the Ritva that we saw in Beis Hamidrash with that Kasha by the Eved Ivri. Remember the Ritva? It's Kasha that the Edom should say that what? What? We didn't know he had Nechasim, right? So I want to think about that Ritva too. Maybe think about this for tomorrow. This Machokes, the Ramban and Rashi, especially the Rashi looks at it. And then maybe we'll get on to the last Tosis with Rabbi Kiveger, the Mashon Kiveger also for tomorrow. Okay. All right.